This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So he went to his home and he fell asleep and he had a dream. And he was in the grave with the man. He saw the angel of mercy and the angel of punishment. And they look at the man and one of them says, the one of punishment says, "This man is mine." And he says, "Because look at those eyes. They're filled with the prohibitions of Allah, things that Allah prohibited." And he says, "And look at his ears. They're filled with listening to those things that he should have never listened to. And look at that tongue. It's filled with the wrongs of a life spent in speaking ill of others and deception and lying." And then he said, "And look at that stomach filled with the haram." And he said, "And look at those genitals going where they shouldn't have gone." And then the angel of mercy says, "But look at his heart. It's filled with faith and he's mine." And that is at the essence of that idea of that no matter what a person's actions are, only God knows the heart. And ultimately it's the heart by which people are judged. It's not because if we were judged by our actions, we would be all like Hamlet says, you know, if you give people what they deserve, who would escape a whipping? Don't give them what they deserve, but give them out of your magnanimity. And that's what Allah shows people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because the hadith in which it says that Allah had 100 parts of mercy, and one part he sent down to the earth, and that part is the part that every mother shows mercy to her child is from that part. Every fall that won't step on its mare is from that part. Every good, kind act in the world is from that part. So all mercy in the earth comes from that one portion that Allah allowed to come down from the celestial sphere. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "And he has saved the other 99 for the day of judgment." So the idea of just being a Muslim on the tongue is part of Islam, that people, as long as they say that, and that's why the man simply recites Shahada before two Muslim witnesses, like people that marry. They use the example of a man who wants to marry a Muslim woman. This actually occurs quite a bit. You get a man that wants to marry a Muslim woman, he'll just go and officially do the Shahada. And Muslims are generally a little wary of that when they see it, but they accept it nonetheless, because that's what Islam tells them to do. And there's a man in our history known as Muhajir Qais, the man who immigrated for this woman who he said, "I want to marry you." And she said, "Immigrate to Medina with the Muslims and I'll marry you." So he did it for her. And he's called Muhajir Qais. So even if somebody does something outwardly and he has a different inward intention, we're commanded to judge by the outward. Now, about the location of faith is in the heart. And the Quran says that Allah knows what's in the breasts and what's in the hearts. And then the idea of actions. According to Islam, actions confirm your faith. The action itself is what confirms the faith. And that's why charity is called sadaqah, which comes from the root word which means to be truthful. Because charity is a sign of your truthfulness in your faith. That when you're charitable, you're showing that your faith is true. So actions, and that's why when people see somebody who does a lot of good actions, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you see somebody that frequents the masjid a lot, فَشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ, testify to his faith, because those actions are indications of his faith. So an action is always an indication of somebody's faith, but not necessarily. I mean, there can be hypocrites, there can be people that are ostentatious, all of these type things. He talks about kufr. We go into the idea of the opposite of faith, which is kufr. Now, kufr is generally translated as infidelity or disbelief. If you look up the root word of kufr, it comes from kafara, which means to cover. In fact, cover actually might be a cognate. Cover, kafar. It means to cover over something. Kefir, which is a yogurt that's you do by covering over with a cloth, is called kefir. Right? So the kafir is also a farmer in Arabic because he covers the seed with dirt, with earth. the kafir. أعجب الكفار نباته. The Quran says, uses the word kufar to mean farmers. So, and somebody once saw Imam Ali was planting something, and somebody asked him, كيف أصبحت? And he said, أصبحت كافرا. He asked him, how are you doing today? He said, I'm a kafir. In other words, I'm a farmer today. Now, the idea there is very interesting, because at the root of this idea is that people know the truth, but what they're doing is covering it over. And the idea is that God is so outwardly manifest that to reject God is to reject what is so blatantly apparent in the world. And only a kafir could do that, somebody who's covering over. And that's why the word literally can also mean ingratitude. Kufran al-ni'ma. Kufran al-mu'ashara. So ingratitude is another meaning of kufr. The word kufran means ingratitude. So a kafir is actually an ingrate. It's somebody who is not showing God gratitude by repaying the debt of consciousness. And the debt is the deen. It's the deen. It's the deen that you owe to God. So now he likes the word truth concealing for kufr. And she says, someone might object to the use of the word truth concealing by saying, I don't know these truths, nor do I accept that they are truths, so how can I be a truth concealer? Traditional Muslims would typically reply that such people have simply not understood what the Quran is saying. In other words, if they really understood it, they wouldn't reject it. But it's because they don't understand it. If they would pay more attention to the message, they'd actually say, well, all right, let's just, and this is an interesting exercise to do with anything. Let me look at this unbiasedly. Let me look at this without judging it. Because see, most people, if you ask most people about Islam, they assume that it's just wrong. They haven't studied it. They're this and they're that. No, it's no basis or foundation for that remark. So if I'm a Christian, I say, no, Christianity's right. Why? Because my mother told me. And my mother doesn't lie. Well, that's the same thing that the Sri Lankan Buddhist mother said that Buddha was the one he should call on, and mom doesn't lie. And the Muslim in Egypt, his mother said, Salli ala Nabi. You know, say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So she doesn't lie. So who's right? Most people have inherited their beliefs. They've never thought about them. They've never examined them. And that's why people, fanatics or extremists, tend to be people whose belief is very shaky, because they're actually so afraid of having it challenged that they're willing to kill anyone that challenges it. Which means that they don't really have a foundation for their belief. Because somebody who's deeply rooted in faith would never be afraid of sitting, like Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, who sat in huge auditoriums and debated atheists. Because he wasn't afraid. He really believed that my faith and my understanding of it can stand up against anything that falsehood has in its arsenal. But if I don't have a strong faith, I'm very afraid of the arsenal of disbelief, that it might overwhelm me. So that is the way traditional Muslims would say that. Now, this is more a personal belief. This is not an Islamic belief. My personal belief is that the variables involved in judging anyone are so overwhelming and so complicated that it is best not to judge people. Just leave it to God. Because you haven't walked in their shoes, you didn't have their childhood, you don't know what was done to them. We don't know enough. And that's why people, their filters are often a result of the families they had, the societies they grew up in. And delusional states are types of madness. And delusion is a symptom of madness. junun, to be in a delusional state, to be deluded. So even though the outward, we're commanded to judge certain things by the outward, and we should always do that in this world, the best thing to do is just reserve judgment for the next world in those ultimate things. Because Allah says in many verses in the Quran, you will return to Him and He'll explain to you all these things about which you were differing. يُنْبِئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَرِفُونَ فِيهِ تَخْتَرِفُونَ He will tell you, He'll inform you. So people should just have some patience. Things will be made clear. And you don't know where people are in their evolution. There's people, I mean, an example of Michael Wolff. Michael Wolff is a person who told me, and he said it, the reason I'm telling you is because he said it on a television program. He thought about becoming a Muslim for 20 years. So, was he a kafir for those 20 years? Because the thing is, ultimately he became Muslim. So where does he lie in the spectrum? It's a fuzzy logic question. You know, at which point do you go from kufr into iman or vice versa? There's a fuzzy logic there, because only a life in its totality can be judged. You can't judge anyone at any specific point in their life, because you don't know what the total life is. And in the end of the day, if he dies saying Tawbah, and Allah accepts that Tawbah, he could be the worst human being that ever lived. And that's success according to the Muslims. So you cannot judge people at any particular point in their life. You have to have the whole life. And only God can do that. So don't judge people. Unless it's somebody stole, you have to deal with that problem. That's a problem, and there's a judgment that goes with it. But even in that case, you can forgive them. If I own a store and somebody steals, I can say, أَجْعَلُكَ فِي حِلْ. It's yours. And the Prophet ﷺ said, يَرْحَمُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That's siga umum. Men is one of the uses for generalization in the Arabic language. Have mercy on anyone in the earth, on those in the earth. It doesn't just mean specific people. It's men fil ard. Have mercy or compassion with those in the earth, and the one in the heavens will have compassion on you. And this is what, you know, Thomas Jefferson said, when I looked at people, I demanded divine justice. But then I started looking at myself and I began to beg for mercy. So that's a powerful statement. You look outside, you want justice. You start looking inside, you want mercy. And I'll tell you another thing, and people don't realize this. Every fault that you see out there, and this is from Raghib Isfahani, every fault that you see out there is a fault in you. It's a fault in you, either manifest, or like fire in flint. In other words, had you lived that person's life, you might be doing the exact same thing that person's doing.